So we'll come back. Just one announcement in the beginning that next Monday is Labor Day. We are joking that, well, it's funny that we have free day. We are not going to have book study. But, well, Labor Day we should celebrate with work. But, well, everything is upside down in this world. Okay. So, no book study next week. And then we will continue. All right. So, we'll continue. We are going to go through chapter 31 on page 236. It's just very short chapter. Probably it's just added to this topic about death. It's more like his reflection than teaching. So I heard that suggestion that probably we will go like 4 weeks over this page. No, I am not going to make it. But well, we will just read that and small reflection there.
In an isolated, little known, and insignificant monastery that stands between woods and bogs, there lived a certain monk. With fear, with lack of trust in himself, and with careful study of the writings of the fathers, he delved into the prayer of the mind in the depth and mystery of the heart's cell. One time this monk stood in church, submerging his mind in his heart. His heart effortlessly moved in prayer toward the mind, and of its own accord led the monk's entire body into a holy spiritual state, impossible to describe with words, only attainable through experience. When the monk saw this incredible new state of his body, his mind was illumined with mystical knowledge. He understood the heretofore cryptic and strange words of St. John of the Ladder, who said, "I have called out with my whole heart, that is, with my body, soul, and mind. Here is the proof for the resurrection from the dead that I have within my own body. If the body is capable of spiritual feelings, if it can feel the consolation of grace together with the soul, if from now on it can be a communicant of grace, then how can it not resurrect for the future life according to the scriptures? The bodies of God's saints were salted with grace, and corruption could not touch them. Through this victory over corruption, they already foretold the resurrection. By pouring forth healing, they prove that grace abides in them, and an eternal life inhabits them, which must in its own time blossom into the all-blessed resurrection intended for and given to mankind by our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen."
Beautiful words. And I think he wanted to, or he felt, to add it to this reflection over death. And really he wanted to point that not only to give some kind of evidence which supports this resurrection of body, but I think his main point was that our body has participation on sanctification of our soul too. And we probably heard and we read about many the saints who were found their bodies were not touched by decay, and those are amazing things. Then we know about healing which comes from relics, and even like demons are living, you know, space where the relics are present. It's difficult to talk about it, but we have to realize that when we start to live a life which leads to purity of heart and mind. Through this sanctification and purification of soul and mind, body has some kind of participation in this and is sanctified. There are so many wonderful stories that about saints who I read about one I think Isaac Syrian was writing about one saint who used to eat twice per week. After many years he came to this some kind of this way of fasting, and one day when was day when he was supposed to eat evening, he said, okay, I will make my evening prayers and then I will eat. And he said, I just said glory to the Father and to the Son in the beginning, and he said, suddenly I lost somehow my conscience. I was taken by grace. And when he somehow came to himself, it was another day and another evening. So 24 hours he was in some ecstasy. He was kneeling for over 24 hours. And he said, well, there was no need for food for him. So even when we reach, are the saints who reach this spiritual heights, suddenly body was like slave to mind, to soul, and those demands of body were conquered. And we have many, many evidence from life of saints that this is happening many times. And not saints like from 1,000 years ago. You have testimonies of people, about people, saints, who live like 30 years ago, and still their disciples are still alive, and they saw that, they were present and they were in awe, because they saw it with their own eyes. And so this is something amazing. He just, I think, he reminds us these states, which it is work of God's grace. And for sure God allows these signs to encourage us in faith. He doesn't make rule of that. But his loved ones who really made a huge effort, he gives this special some kind of signs for us. I was touched by one thing is that we always, I think people of modern time, we look very suspicious. We are relatively suspicious about these things. But well, maybe it is just sign of lack of our faith. Last week, or week before, just recently, I read about, it was somebody posted on Facebook, story of Saint Spyridon, Greek saint, and his relics are in one church in one of Greek islands, but I don't remember now, I forgot name of the island. What they do is that they, every year they changed vestments and shoes on his uncorrupt body, which there's the reason why is that his shoes and dress is worn out. Even he is in this like box somewhere in the church, it is like that he was walking like in these shoes like for 1 year. This sounds, and tourists who come there and to venerate these relics, they are always like in awe. But this inhabitants of this island, they said, this is normal. Saint Spiridon said that he will protect our island forever. So he is walking around and protects our island. And we can, I'm just saying that, it's very strange for us to hear that, but for them it is something normal. This is what saints do. This is what is normal. And I think that we need these signs, and God gives them these signs through these relics or bodies which are in perfect state. There is one saint, they cut his nails because they are growing. You know, God gives us these signs because we are becoming very, like, a little bit distant from mystical things, distant from the spiritual things, that we look through logic and through this prism of this world to everything. And so it is strange for us to see these wonderful signs God gives through his saints to us. And maybe we should, this is another opportunity for us to really return back, or try to return back to the simplicity of children who are in awe, you know, over many things. And many times they can tell you, you can tell children that, wow, this is, and they would trust you normally and believe what you say. And if you are a nasty person, you can, like, take advantage of this, you know. But sometimes I do this. It's a joke. But we should have this, you know. You know Juliana Wozni. Mm-hmm. But this was our revenge because she was nasty to me. Little girl, 3 years old.
Four.
But it was like a year ago, maybe three. Mm-hmm. I remember they were coming to the church. I went from confessional. And I saw them, I came to Juliana, and said, hi, Juliana, and she said, hi. And she said, you have weird beard. I said, no. And so I told her, Juliana, you know why this beard is so weird? But no, because I eat a lot of pepper. Don't eat pepper. If you start to eat pepper, you will have the same weird beard. And she was like looking at me, like eyes wide open. She was recalling, did I eat pepper or not? What to expect?
She starts going like this.
Yeah, it's growing. But it was a joke at the time. But it was amazing how this simplicity of these children, they take it. And the same thing with the same simplicity and innocence and trust, we should approach what God tells us and what we learn from saints. It should be this setting in our heart which doesn't question too much things, but we believe. And when you try to do this, suddenly, like, whole new world will be open for you. Suddenly we start to see and understand things in different light. Many things will give a new meaning, understanding. Even like painful things, and sufferings which come and crosses, we'll be able to see somehow or feel somehow purpose for our life in this. It is almost magical world. in which we are able to enter through this simplest and innocent of our souls. All right. This is what I want, my thought over this. If you want to add somebody, all right. So we will move on chapter 32, it's page 241. This reflection, what is there? Homework. Bring paper, 600 words. This beautiful chapter, My Cross and the Cross of Christ, and I think this chapter will answer many of our questions we carry many times in our mind. So please, this first. Yes, this reflection, homework, 600 words essay.
The Lord said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What does the cross signify? Why is it that his cross, that is a separate one for each person, is also called the cross of Christ? My cross is the sorrows and sufferings of this earthly life, unique for each individual. My cross is fasting, keeping vigil, and other pious ascetic labors through which the body is humbled and submits to the Spirit. These labors must be appropriate to the strength of each individual person, and so each person has his own cross. My cross is my disease of sin or passions, which also differ in each individual person. Some of them are already present at birth. Others infect us during our earthly life.
All right. These few paragraphs shows that he is really good spiritual father who has experience in practical pastoral work, because he gives us this formulation or this explanation of cross, especially different sufferings we call cross. And probably he had to answer question, why I am suffering, what is going on, why I have to have this pain in my life. When he was bishop and he was taking care of people who were in his flock. And so he gives very good summary of teaching of these holy fathers, and he explains and he points that there are like three reasons of this pain or suffering which we call cross. The first thing is, the first cross is, or reason for those sufferings is our nature, which is fallen. We, the beautiful beings, how we were created, were corrupted by fall, by effects of fall, and because of that, we are suffering a lot of pain, lack of maybe abilities many times, which is effect or fruit of this our fallen nation, nature. Oh, sorry, nation, fallen nation. Right. The second, and again, this is something what is unique. As each of us has different skills, different talents, and everything, so even these effects of this fallen nature are different from each of us, so this makes us very, very unique. The second is, what is a problem is our sins. It means effects of our sins we commit, and then there's a pain which comes when we try to conquer passions, conquer sins, conquer these bad habits. So fasting and other ascetical exercises are really painful because they go against our fallen nature. And so this pain we're going through. All those things are very unique, that it means that there are not two people who would have the same cross, who would have the same problem. And this is very important to realize, because many times we go to state of despair, especially when our cross, this our suffering, it seems to us very painful, and we somehow see others who don't suffer in this way as we are suffering. And this source of anger against God many times. It's source of jealousy. It is source of some kind of, for sure, despair. But, well, we might suffer from one thing, but another person can suffer differently, and we are not able to see that. But what he's trying to tell us, there is no person who would be without that cross. And he tries to tell us that, well, this cross which we have can become Christ, cross of Christ. It's some kind of mystery that when we don't refuse and we don't resist with in some kind of sinful way to the suffering we experience in our life, and we somehow take it as a cross we are supposed to carry, even we don't see why and future benefits of that. When we approach this suffering with faith, this is some kind of mystical thing is happening, that the moment that is our cross becomes a cross of Christ. Now, well, he will be talking later about it more. This is very difficult. I mentioned in the beginning, before we started to record, that today I'm doing this study from the beginning of book through Zoom in Slovak for a group of people, and today there was a question: how can I know if it is true cross or cross what is fake? And many times it's difficult for us to recognize. But all time, all these difficult things we experience, if we accept them, that they are coming from God's providence, that God allows that in our life for our sanctification or for our growth, if we have this approach, so then everything can become this cross of Christ. If we resist, the pain stays, suffering stays, and it's fake cross, because there is empty cross, because it bears no fruit.
I would think a fake cross would lead me to self-pity, and the feeling of I'm the martyr. That's a fake cross. A true cross would lead me to repentance and conversion.
Yeah. And yes, exactly. Plus, I would add, this repentance, yes, and conversion, but this is connected somehow with some kind of silent joy that I know that now some kind of transformation is happening in me through Christ, that God is in work in my soul. It's difficult many times in the midst of pain, and even I take it correctly, to have this joy, but when we are trying to see and to follow, to transform this pain to true cross, this joy slowly start to come up, you know, but first we have to go through conversion and repentance. Thank you. All right, so let's continue.
Before you continue, I wondered, that last paragraph that she read, it said, some of them, talking about my cross, some of them are already present at birth.
Yes, this one, especially, you can be born with some kind of deformity or sickness.
Oh, okay.
You know that this is disability. And many times we ask God that why this person is suffering, and we are filled with pain looking at the person. And for the person, it's horrible. But maybe for that person is that unique way to salvation. You know?
Would it also be our fallen nature that we're born with?
Yeah.
Kind of a loaded question. When I went to a conference 25, 30 years ago, I went to a conference on Padre Pio. And it was really interesting. They said he was born with terrible stomach issues, tremendous pain. And he also had the ability to give him the gift and grace of being with his guardian angel all the time. And his guardian angel told him to get up one night and eat the entire pot of hot peppers. And he was like, couldn't believe that he was told to do that. He says, do it, you'll be healed, but you'll be given something else. You'll be given another cross. You know, and he ate it and he was healed. So then he was able to progress through all these other challenges and eventually becoming a priest. But then he ends up getting the stigmata. And he understood that his pain was there for to intercede for other people. Or different, you know, I couldn't even wrap my head around it, but he understood the level of pain and suffering that he went through for I don't know how many years, 20 or 30 years. And this priest was talking about, commenting about this cross, and people would make these comments like, wonder why he's, you know, his hands are getting bigger, the holes are getting worse, and, you know, is he not doing what he's supposed to be doing? Kind of some of the subjects that we're talking about today. And he said there's two forms of a cross. He said one is a person that's embracing the cross and is willing to endure. That comes from humility. And there's another cross is a cross that people hide, and they're afraid. You know, maybe there's something in somebody's family, or you know, something they're trying to cover up. And they said that cross will never leave them, because they're hiding that cross out of pride, and the other one is enduring out of humility. And I'm trying to think of the end of it, but I mean, it was really interesting on how that endurement of that suffering was, you know, on what he was able to accomplish and intercede for other people in the confessional, and it was due to his humility and his suffering. And I was kind of curious, you were asking that question about how does that somebody have that at birth, you know, that's kind of what I was looking for, is how is it that you know, some of these saints get called in that way to endure that way, when you would think it would be, I don't know.
Well, we have to always keep in mind that cross is always mystery, and there's this spiritual law. More we we can speculate and to talk about that. But the spiritual law I want to mention is that when we try to keep God's commandments, by doing that, we are getting help and understanding. This help and understanding doesn't come first. We have to make one step in faith, first step, and we are going to start to get this help from above and understanding from above. So we can speculate over cross and meaning for our life. It's unique meaning for each of us. But we start to understand this mystery when we embrace the cross. When we in faith we say, okay, this suffering, this difficulty, this problem, nothing happens without God's permission. Nothing. Even temptation from demons happens because they got permission to do this. And they are not able to test us over limits. You know that so God's providence and some kind of ruling is behind everything. So if I know that something really painful came to my life, I have to see that God allowed that and this permission was given. Why? God doesn't want to torture us. He's searching for our salvation. So if he allows the things, it's like this, used to be that parents, they had this stick they were using to educate children with that. But it was symbol of love because they wanted their children to become good people with good behavior. So sometimes, even in scripture, it is written that what is...
Switch
the
rod. No. Yeah, that who God loves, he
punishes,
you know, and I cannot translate that from Slovak version. So it is, this wisdom is there, and if we accept these difficulties with this, okay, there is some kind of God's intention. Maybe I don't understand that, but I am accepting it, and I will try to find out why it's good for me, why God allowed that. And I'm making this first step with faith, even not understanding meaning of that. After a while, I start to see not only why, but I will find strength to carry that. You know, and this understanding which comes from above really leads me to understand many times I say, this was my sin. Or this is my some kind of defect I carry from my birth in my body, some kind of this weakness bodily or disease of deformity, that because I have this, it really forms me to in some way which is pleasant way, you know, pleasant thing, if I accept this. I know what you're saying, that it is like suffering for others. This is very popular in West. Mm-hmm. You know that you are suffering for others, you're offering. But
I somehow I would say that we have to fix that in the understanding, because this God doesn't allow us, why, you know, to suffer for others, to give cross for others. Not that. What we have to, more correct understanding is that I have my cross, and I'm carrying this my cross, and this cross is given to me for my salvation. Okay, everything what I can offer, offer this my efforts from love. I said, if there is some kind of fruit, please give to somebody who needs that. If there is some kind of this, I can't recall right word, reward for my patience in this, use it to give it this reward to somebody for salvation of that person. But it is not that this is this, but my suffering is my suffering. You know, it is not that now I am suffering because of that person, that for salvation of the person. No. Your cross is your cross. That person should carry own cross. What I can share is this from love I have to others. I said, oh Lord, look, I am trying to patiently carry this cross. It's pain for me, it's difficult for me. And if you find me worthy of some kind of reward, give this reward to somebody. You know, use that, you know.
A prayer we used to pray was, you know, may you unite your sufferings to the sufferings of Christ on the cross for the salvation of souls.
Yes, but we have to, because there is, I think that many times, I think in this, in the West, is that this idea of suffering, that okay, I put myself to some kind of like I'm martyr, and I'm suffering and I'm suffering for other, and in this way, what, in some way it is, it might be used, but there is this some kind of this movement in mind, which deformed this sounds that I am putting myself to some kind of position of savior. And I am making myself.
I understand what you're saying. That what you said before is what the Latins, the Western Church believes.
No.
We suffer. You know, we carry our own cross for our salvation, and then any excess
reward,
grace,
yeah,
any
exactly,
you know, the fruits of it.
Exactly.
Give it to Christ to say whatever you, whoever needs this.
Well,
give that, it to him.
That is the same in the East.
Yeah,
too.
That's what I'm saying. So we do have the same understanding. Some people don't have that understanding.
Exactly.
In the
West, this is why I'm trying
to teach. The West teaches it. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that we have to avoid this illusion, because many, if you don't think like correctly, this, so then it leads you to illusion, and do some kind of pose of, I am the savior.
Yeah, we're co-saviors with Christ.
Yes,
like
exactly. And then pride, inner pride. It is so, I have to still, the cross I'm carrying, it's my cross, and it is for my salvation. But while this, I can always from love to offer rewards to somebody else.
Maybe one way to actually, because I was trying to assimilate that a better, how to explain it, maybe one way would be to, in your own prayer life, to pray for others. Maybe sometimes that pain is allowed to, as a reminder, to keep others in prayer. Not necessarily being from a, I'm being given this pain to pray for others, but as that's maybe one of the things of a weakness that you may be reminded as a, in your pain, hey, you know, oh yes, I've forgotten to pray for others, but maybe through that, it's like almost kind of an internal reminder in a sense.
I don't want to go further for that because when I was thinking
about that, I came to some point that, okay, we are standing in front of mystery. Mm-hmm. You know, we can make these conclusions from teaching of the Father, from Scripture and everything. It is a little bit mystery which will be revealed to us when we are in heaven. But what you see in this teaching of the saints is that they always remind you that suffering you are experience is for you. Okay? It's something what God allows in your life, because he would just one thought of God and all suffering would be gone. You know, but with that we would gone even these impulses which leads us to grow in growing in love to him and to purification over our lives. So this is, I think I would stress this to keep this in mind. And then, well, these side effects, I would say that, well, that really I offer, if there is some kind of reward from me, if you receive this my patience that I'm offering for salvation of souls, this is fine. You know, this okay. It's but it's more act of love. Act of love that you are giving, like what you obtain, your patience, your work, you know, praying cross, that you are offering to as a gift for others. So it is very. So I know that we are simplifying things. Many times, it is. I think this is a big problem. Many times, like in, and it's. It comes many times from some kind of, like if a priest has 10 minutes for preaching on Sunday, so he cannot explain all these details, you know, in one homily and say, well, offer your suffering for somebody. So, well, and he assumes that everybody understands what does it mean, but many times we make this simplification. We say, okay, I experience something. I say, okay, I am offering this for somebody. This is my suffering. But first thought would be, what does it mean for me? First thought should be, what is suffering? Where God calls me through this suffering? How this suffering should help me on my path to salvation, because it is primary, it is for me. But many times we make these phrases and we assume that everybody understands correctly. And many times there is a not the right understanding. And really even now we are simplifying a little bit these things and we are touching some kind of mystery. But one thing is for sure, the spiritual law I mentioned, if we can apply here, if we make in faith this step that we accept this suffering which comes as a some kind of instruction from God, and we start to search for that, and we accept this very patience, And we allow the suffering to bring us closer to God, even begging for answer. We are getting strength from above and understanding from above, which gives us like clear, we start to see clear, we start to understand clear this suffering. And many times we cannot explain that it's some kind of like this movement in soul that which acknowledges this as a gift almost, but we cannot describe to others. This knowledge comes from above as a gift. It's difficult to share with somebody because how to describe things for which we don't have human words.
How do we go then, though, from crosses that were inflicted by others that impact complete day-to-day functioning of individuals where, for the most part, there's fear of going outside, inability to trust everyone and anyone, to downright 5 or 6 personalities. I'm thinking of, you know, my work with trauma survivors and the idea that people will say, you're so resilient. And for me, the reality is the things that they're resilient, we say they're resilient about, should have never happened. That I'm not sure I can say that these are gifts from God, that here's your cross, go and take it.
Well, forgive me, because, well, I think that you are talking about some kind of special group of people, and well, probably there is a need for a psychological help, well, too, and I'm not expert in this.
No,
you know?
I understand that.
I'm not expert at that, but the state has connection with some kind of spiritual life and spiritual state of people. We have he was a very known psychologist in Czech Republic. He wrote a lot of books, great guy, and he was ordained deacon, and he's now our Byzantine Catholic priest. Amazing man. And what he says is that he never met in his ambulance, and he's still doing his practice, he never met person who was doing like regular confession. You know, that he said, and he knows because of his practice, and he said these relatives of these people who went through same trauma, that one was afflicted so badly that maybe the signs you describe would fit, and the relative went through the same like situation, and there is not this damage. But the difference is that one was practical Christian who really tried to live life with Christ, and the second one was not. So he just didn't want to stay there. It's more difficult, because even like the psychological problems which cause the people are vulnerable to, or the damage from traumas is bigger in their lives, they might be their crosses too. But what he wanted to put some kind of general idea, that many, many times it depends where you are in spiritual, you know, state. And if somebody is far from Christ, far from grace, you cannot tell received as a cross, because they don't know what you are talking about. And even if they have some kind of understanding, they don't have ability, this inner ability to accept this and to follow that. So there is this guidance and counseling is needed. But look, one thing is for sure, God is searching for salvation of those people too, their souls. And I think the problem in present time is that we are, and I am talking about Christians, that many Christians are far from grace. And you can see that a lot of these problems, psychological problems, are, which were not present few generations ago. And so we cannot think that we can live some kind of life which is isolated from sacraments. Look, if somebody comes for confession once per year, well, you cannot really talk about sacramental life in the person. And you can expect a lot of things, problems can be. And you see that, you can see, for example, in present time, the most what we can see is anxiety, depression, fear, which rules over people. And if this is not under control, so if people don't start to work on this, it can go deeper and deeper, and it can go to deeper things. Because what you said about these traumas, many times the main key for the healing is forgiveness. But they are not able to forgive. They don't want to forgive many times. I don't want to go to this position of expert, because I am not. I'm just sharing thought of this guy who made just some kind of very general introduction to this problem, and was connected with his work, and it fits here for your question. And what he said in the end of this lecture, and he had this for priests, I'm taking his thoughts from his lecture, he said that he pointed to several areas which are needed for present time. He said, what we need is new generation of real spiritual fathers. And he made really impact with that, because he was talking to 200 priests probably, and he's having new generation of spiritual fathers. But he explained that it means those people, priests or even not priests, who went through this process of purification of heart and mind, and they are able to help because they have this some clarity of thinking to become this guide for those people, instructors. Then he said, well, and he said, we need to, he was talking about counseling, these people. I said, we need to bring to this rooms where these doctors or these specialists work, Christians, mm-hmm. who understand these movements of soul and spiritual laws, and who be able to name real problem, what is real there, who are not trying to, because many times in present time, when you are in this position, or you have some trauma, so many times you are moved to this position that, yes, you are the victim. You are the victim, and, well, it's not your fault. you know, you're a victim. And what they, and through this, they are going deeper and deeper because they use it as an excuse, and they don't do this work which is needed for their souls. You know, that I am simplifying that, but he was simplifying that too for in this short lecture for priests. I think this is a big problem in present time. But I think that he is going to give us some kind of path we can follow in our lives and to avoid to fall to this despair or these deeper problems, serious problems. Patrick, you were almost right. All right. So we will finish for today. Remember that there will be no book study next next Monday, and then we will meet again.